All right, it's Danny. Welcome to episode 71, I want to say, of Drunk Therapy, with probably the most self-explanatory title you'll ever have for this podcast. I think I sound like I have the cold, so I might sound bunged up, which is the evidence that you need to prove that I have coronavirus. So, pretty much straight to the point. That's what the chat is at the start. And if I really divulge any more on it, it'll give away all of it. Not that it's really that exciting, to be honest. We'll talk about it for 20 minutes because it's not that exciting. The worst thing to happen, so we recorded last night. Since last night, I've lost my sense of taste, which is annoying because I'd bought Frosties for myself. Well, I say I'd bought Frosties, like I got like a Prime delivery, so I didn't go to a shop or anything. I haven't left the flat. So I get Frosties delivered. Because that's what you do. You treat yourself when you're not well. And now I can't taste them. And that is the first time I've ever believed in God. And he's mocking me with these fucking... He'll be eating Frosties right now and just laughing. And he'll be eating like Kellogg's Frosties. I just bought Morrison's own brand because I'm poor. So him and Tony the Tiger, who's I'm pretty sure is dead, he's up in heaven. Sitting next to God, and they're going, oh, how do they taste? Not great, because that's what Tony the Tiger, I'd talk shite. Right, what else do we talk about in this episode? Other stuff, just the usual. You know what to expect with us now, but it's funny. It's like all the usual kind of body parts and things. There's a lovely, James has a vigilante story from a few weeks ago, which is beautiful, and it's... I liked revisiting the story. I liked the story at the time. One other thing is that there's like 2 or 3 minutes of social commentary after or towards the end of the coronavirus stuff. We're done after that. There's no more social commentary on coronavirus on this podcast. We record it to escape the ills of the world and have a laugh. I very much hope that you all just listen to this to have a laugh as opposed to thinking that were in any way fucking intelligent or insightful. So, we're done. And just like, it's cool, man. Like, don't get hung up on it. I was listening to People Ain't No Good by Nick Cave earlier today. Just listen to that if you're feeling a bit run down with cunts. That's all you need. Don't worry about Twitter and all that stuff. Anything else? I'm a dying man. So obviously my dying wish is for you to leave a nice review on iTunes for this podcast, if you're on iTunes. If you're not on iTunes, then just tell a friend. Like, I'll be in the ICU in about a week, and I know what I'll be doing. I'll be telling people to listen to Drunk Therapy. I won't, because I probably won't be able to breathe. But that's what I would be doing, so that's what you should do as well. And that's it. I'll stop talking, and the intro will play now. Bye, everyone. Imagine this was the last thing I ever recorded. Oh, imagine that, and you were listening to this, and I was dead. Oh, that would be... Oh, what could be like my fitting last words be? Right here. Last words ever before the end.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So, get involved. Grab a beer and join us for Drunk Therapy. The podcast.
Rona and the Rona is just one of those things that you read and go, kind of wish it was you that had it instead of me.
Can we call it Danny's Death Disease?
No, because that's Triple D. Also shit.
Danny's Death Disease. People love alliteration, mate. Don't undersell it.
Danny's Death Disease, it's not my death disease, it's everyone's death disease, coronavirus.
Yeah, but in the podcast, you're kind of the owner of the death disease.
But I would like to think Danny's death disease is something that I could come up with myself.
But you didn't. You didn't yet.
This is a kind of incident that would inspire me to become some sort of supervillain. Maybe the system will fail me in some way.
Well, get it. Getting the Rona has inspired you to.
But honestly, please don't call it that.
We've called it Danny's Death Disease. Let's continue with
that. That's worse. I don't like that either. Let's just call it coronavirus.
Can we just say your ailment or like...
Affliction.
Your affliction's good?
Afflictions, that sounds like I'm addicted to it.
Well, I honestly think that sounds like there's ghosts haunting you. I think I watched a horror movie called Affliction once, and are there ghosts? Like, what happens? What fucking tell us about the coronavirus?
Do I build up to it, or just, I don't want to like jump straight to the end.
How are you guys?
If I just told you how it was, then I feel like that would be like an hour of content lost. Not that I'm saying we'd talk for an hour and then at the end we go, and...
Yeah, it's like it's a good hook you've
some
got there.
People won't know that I actually have it until I title this episode, Danny Has Coronavirus, then they'll know. But
can you please just call it Danny's Got the Rona and I'll stop saying it?
I'll agree to that, but I won't do it. I'll agree to it so that you'll stop saying it.
Why don't we title this episode, What Do We Call Danny's Death Disease?
I like that.
I just feel like that there's something very, because I was going to call it Positive Danny, because I thought, well, that's quite clever, and it, like, it's a throwback to the fact that I'm never positive. And then I just thought, but it's just, sometimes a title doesn't need to be clever. Danny Has Coronavirus is a title that people look at and... if you don't like me, they'll go, fucking brilliant, yes, fucking excellent, can't wait to hear this. Or if they don't mind me, they'll go, oh, that's a shame, I'd like to hear a bit more about it.
Have we started the podcast?
I think you could.
See if you were in a, like, I'd imagine we've got like 60 years of life left in us. That seems reasonable, doesn't it, if we stay healthy and fit. And a bit of luck, maybe. Yeah, 60 years.
That's scary as fuck. That's a scary fucking, just a scary fucking thing to hear.
I know, mate. We can touch on that another time, but this is the closest we'll probably get to the dystopian zombie apocalypse films that we've watched or TV shows that we've watched. So with what's happened to Danny this week, which I'll let him tell us, and the beginnings of this being January, would you say that's a successful time within a zombie apocalypse to not get what you've got for 10 months? Like, I'd say that you're doing pretty well. Like, you're reaching the end of the season one or 90 minutes into this zombie apocalypse film.
I don't think so. Sorry, I'm going to take my jumper off. It's quite hot.
That's one of the symptoms of what Danny's got. It's really hot. You have to take jumpers off.
It depends if it's a movie or a TV show, though. Like, if it's Walking Dead and Danny got what Danny's got now, he'd be fucked. But if it's a movie, you'd hope that, like, he's doing it to be brave and there's a cure on its way or something.
See, I disagree. I'd say, see, if this was a movie where the timelines at movies go very quickly, Danny's got that and he's dead within the first 10 minutes because they need to get to the story. And all due respect, Danny, you don't seem like a big-time player in this scenario, you know? You're not, like, the main character. You're just probably an extra, maybe an interesting extra, like a very bit part supporting character. Whereas in a TV show, that bit part supporting character could, you know what I mean, be 9 episodes in, be in the background to some shots. Anyways.
So I have hepatitis. alluding to. I kind of missed that zombie stuff because I was taking my jumper off because I'm just basically saying such a fever, such a temperature. No, I heard the start of it and I actually disagree because now that I have coronavirus and I am for once the positive one of this podcast, I don't know. I'm like the first person most people know that I have it. Yes, am I the first person you both know that has had it?
Yeah. And I feel like what's interesting about this is, would you rather have had coronavirus when most people would have mollycoddled you a bit more and went, oh, mate, that's fucking, I'm really shocked, are you okay? And I know we are part of a group chat where everyone in that group chat offered to get you messages, which I thought was really funny because I hadn't at all and had no intention of. Because I'm like, we're so far into this pandemic now that I'm like, Danny with coronavirus, I'm just like, okay, yeah.
See, I just think it's dead funny. Like, I don't know why. Like, maybe because I'm not that ill, but I think it's fucking hilarious that I've got it. And only two people have had the decency to share that. One of which, I'll give Shane credit, when Shane found that I had coronavirus, his response was simply the word yass. And then when my sister found out that I was potentially going to get it, she wished that I did have it, and not that I died, but that I suffered greatly from it because she just listened to the Cloth podcast where I told mean stories about my sisters.
And how is Kate doing?
Kate's fine. Now that I've got coronavirus, she's very happy. But yeah, that was kind of the reaction I not wanted, yeah, wanted, expected, like, fucking slag me, man, I've got the coronavirus, that's, I don't know, that's funny as fuck. But
it would have been interesting had you had it like 5 months ago, because our reactions would have been the complete antithesis of this. We would have went, how are you, mate? What's it like? Are you scared? Are you going to die? You would have probably been looking up symptoms on Google, trying to find out more information on it.
I wouldn't have done that. I learned my lesson from that 10 years ago, not to Google symptoms.
You might have, though, but it's very much less scary at the moment, isn't it? Well, despite what the media would have you believe.
To an extent, like, but we are fucking ditching social commentary on coronavirus on this podcast. Everyone will be pleased to know, because much like politics, it's just fucking tedious chatting around it. Everyone has
and Danny and I have been arguing enough about it on WhatsApp.
When the day comes where fucking James and I are debating over current affairs instead of sending fucking voice notes to Mickey Mouse on Babe Station or something like that, then... I'm not talking about a shite anymore. So, what was the build up? What was I saying there?
You were saying how many days you have
really
left to live.
Really easy memory because of the my.
Right, like, we'll talk us through it. Like, fuck me, man. This is boring. But I suppose it'll be interesting to some people.
Should
we start it again, but with like a clip, and then just kind of come in? I don't know.
No. Okay. I'll just tell the story as to how I've got it.
Shame wanting to start it again. Yeah. You know how many podcasts we started again because
didn't
of
even make fun of you. I complimented you there, Shane. No, podcast again.
Nah, listen, we just want to find out how he got it.
Aye, so it's not really that exciting a story, but it's I just got it off somebody.
It's a great story.
I didn't even get it through rule breaking. Like the last time I broke the rules was with you, 3 weeks ago now. So I'm not as if I'm being like fucking camping in cunt's hussies or anything like that. I was just through work, just close contact with somebody at work, and that was it. It's just one of these things. And then I got the track and trace thing, so I was self-isolating anyway. So say this was a Thursday, like dates are all over the place this podcast. So this was a Thursday that we found out it was maybe on. And then Friday it was confirmed that it was isolation time. And then Saturday night going into Sunday morning, I started to feel a wee bit like sore and achy, not like ill. Sunday I was achy all day, but I could do stuff, I could move and I could do things, and I went for the test just to get out of the house. It's nice to get out of the house. It's the only way I could get out of the house was to go for a test. And the test was pure dystopian as fuck, man. It was some like mad Black Mirror shit. So I went to Cali, did Mull Uni, and I was in there and I was the only one, and it was funny because it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm the only person there, and the weather was shite. And I got to the door, and the girl was like, "You get a QR code once you book the appointment, so that all gets scanned." And the girl was like, "Oh, how you doing? Blah blah blah." I was like, "Well, I think I've got coronavirus. How are you?" And she's like, "Oh, you've picked a good time to come. It's nice and quiet." And I was going, "Ah, it's weird. Like, I thought it would have been a lot busier given like the news and the fact that apparently." Well, it is, like, numbers looking up and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, I think the weather's just keeping people away. And I was like, what, as if it's, like, fucking Edinburgh Zoo or something? Like, oh, we're expecting loads of families, we're going to bring a barbecue, bit of weather. I was going to go and get the old Corona test today, but I'll wait until the sun's out before I go along, get my vitamin D at the same time.
So we'll just go to soft play instead.
I'll just have a duvet day. So you go in, you get given a split proper, like, walk to this marker, and a man in a mask will give you further instructions. And then the man in the mask scans a thing and goes, now walk to this marker, and a person in a mask will hand you this thing. So you do that like 3 or 4 times. Remember, I'm the only person in this place other than these workers, so didn't really need to do any of that. And then you get given your little kit, and you get a swab, and you need to, like, you go through all these instructions, and it's you wash your hands before it, and fucking clean your nose with a tissue, you need to blow your nose, and you get given this swab plastic thing, and there's a mirror. So all you're in this booth, and there's a wee table with a mirror on it, and your shit that you've been given, and they go, right, find your tonsils and just like swab the back of your throat for 10 to 15 seconds.
Fucking
hell. Like, cool, fine, no worries. So I'm like using the, I don't know why I use the mirror to try and find my tonsils. There's only really one place where your tonsils are, and that's at the back of your throat. But I'm still using this mirror. I put the swab in and immediately just started, like, because it's right on the back of your throat, so I started gagging. And at that point, I burst out laughing. So I just made this pure, like, weird, like, mad, cackly gagging noise. And two people rushed over to make sure I was okay. And I went, no, it's fine. I was just laughing at myself doing my coronavirus test. So you do that but I didn't do it for 10 seconds because it was fucking horrible. And then you take the same bit of plastic and then just fucking ram it up your nose and swirl it about your nose for 10, 15 seconds. And you need to push it up to the point where it feels uncomfortable, it said. So it's kind of like you're trying to scoop your brain out with a little fork. And that was nice. And then that was it. That's the test. If anybody wants to go for a test, I highly recommend it. It's fun for all the family. Just go when the weather's right. And that was it. I went up the road, and the next day I found that I had coronavirus. And to be honest, since I've felt kind of all right, and it's not been that bad.
Do you think there's any pseudo-symptoms? You're talking about having achy body the other day. Do you think you manifested some of that?
No, because I have it.
No, I know, but do you think, see, when you have something, you think, oh, it must be that, well, you know, that whereas usual, you walk up in the morning, you're just like, fuck it, I've maybe just got some achy bones.
That was probably part of the reason why I went for the test, because obviously I've said before, when about 10 years ago, I had, like, a serious thing with hypochondria and all that when I was down in Leicester. Episode 3 of the podcast, I believe, if you want to go back and refresh your memory. And, because you just, I don't know, it's different. I'm not a person that gets ill. So in the last 15 years, the worst thing I've had has been ear infections. So that feeling of, like, muscle ache, I know, is not a normal feeling. But eyes, you obviously at that point kind of think, oh, here we go. But since I've tested positive, it's kind of, but it's still there. Like, my back's a wee bit achy. Yesterday was fine. And I don't know, you just need to kind of hope it stays that way.
Do you, like, does your work give you a bonus for, like, riddling you with this fucking disease? Do they at least feel bad? Like,
I'm 6 weeks into the job. I don't think it would go down well if I was just like, by the way, I'm suing you for giving me credit. No, I have no grudges or ill will or harbouring of any doom to anyone. As I said when we, I haven't said it in the podcast, but I said when we met up 3 weeks ago that life was in a situation where, whether it was meeting yous to go for a few pints every now and then, playing football once a week, going into an office to work, going to, like, cafes and all that, I was kind of running the risk of getting it. And I was felt quite content and safe with the idea of getting it. And there's part of me that thinks it'll be dead funny if I'm dead this time next week and this is the last podcast we put out, where I'm just kind of like, yeah, I've got it and I feel great. And then the next Twitter updates, I've died. That would be funny, but
I could really title this episode Danny's Death Disease.
Call it whatever the fuck you wanted, because I'm dead and I won't get upset about it.
I love fucking Rishi Sunak over in the corner, though. Really want to deep dive the economy into oblivion by offering corona bonuses. You know? Yeah. Imagine everybody just going, I want to catch it, man. You get 500 quid and a holiday for 14 days in your gaff.
Just going around licking lampposts and shit like that, eh? Yeah.
You go to me, all right, if I come up, aye, I'm fucking skint this month.
What's the first thing you do when you get coronavirus? Lawyer up.
It's like chicken pox, like everyone's kids get it and they're like, go around, we're going to get the rona.
That's, do you know, funnily enough, that was kind of what I thought. And again, if I'm dead this time next week, it's the wrong thought. But as of this moment or this stage where I'm at least 3 days into having it and I'm not that bad, I kind of thought that whole chicken pox, it's good to get out of the way thing. That is not an endorsement or a recommendation for someone to go out and get coronavirus. But it's where my current mindset is at with it. But I'd said for weeks that I expected to get it at some stage over the winter, just with the circumstances being the way they were. Maybe I didn't expect to get it so quickly, but that's what it is.
You got it before Christmas, mate. That's a good thing. I don't know what that means, but a lot of people will say that. Like, you'll hear that a few times. Oh, at least you got it before Christmas. You know, there's something you wouldn't want in Christmas to be sitting yourself.
Gets me getting out to any Halloween parties or anything like that, so that's fine.
One of my favourite things from this whole experience was, like, the group chat where, like, one of our other mates had noticed it on Instagram, because that's the way you have to bring in, like, fucking conversation now. I noticed that on Instagram, went, Danny, and then he put up the germ emoji, and somebody was like, seriously, Danny's got coronavirus? And they were like, aye, it looks like it. And then our other mate, who's got a pregnant missus that's due any minute, just messages back, fuck, I spent 20 minutes with him last week. I just sent Danny a private message, mate. Have you not told this guy you got coronavirus yet? Danny's like, sorry, it happened a day after that.
Nah, he's fine. Everyone's really? Fine. I wasn't even quite, because I was already isolating. So by the time I showed symptoms. But one thing I will say, not very impressed with track and trace. So I'm like, that's doing its job very well.
Too far.
Apparently I'm to get a phone call, but instead I get a text message saying that they try to phone me. No card try to phone me.
I think you know you're sick, right, when you're not feeling well enough to touch yourself. So have you touched yourself since getting getting coronavirus? Oh, nice.
Yeah, this just actually came up.
Yeah,
Danny texted me this yesterday. And it sounded so sad.
Well, is everything sad about my life? No, I had a work in the afternoon because and my reasoning for it was, I said to James, was that because I was quite well enabled yesterday, I just wanted to get everything out of the way after I was up to it. So I'd done like the washing, I'd done the hoovering, cleaned all my dishes, made some stuff for dinner for the next day or two.
The usual get yourself like horny type of stuff, you know.
Yeah. And then at that point I was like, okay, mate, I just have a wank whilst I'm physically and mentally capable of it. And it was a daytime one, and that's the most depressing one of all, because you need to put the blind down for it.
And everyone's like, why has that guy got his blind down?
It's And you're like, even see if you're going for a shower, and let's say you're doing something in the evening, so you go for a shower at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you put the blind down, so you're going for a shower, I'm always thinking, they're all thinking I'm about to have a wank. Everyone thinks I'm about, I'm not, I'm just going for a shower. I wish I could put a sign up on the window saying, going for a shower, BRB, but everyone thinks I'm mastering.
Can you taste shit?
Yeah, can taste, can smell, don't have any of that. Literally all I've had so far is a wee bit of muscle ache. Nothing more. Nothing.
Have you went a drive yet to test your eyes?
I drove to the testing centre down in Durham or whatever the fuck it was that cunt went.
Aye, the castle. By the way, just if I can revisit what I said on the episode with Hannah months ago, and we all I don't think that you guys wholeheartedly agreed with me when it said, and I said, everybody, as soon as the doors open, they're all just going to run through it and do what they used to do. And that's pretty much to the extent they're allowed to do. That's pretty much what's happened over the past 3 months. People just get back to normal, go to pubs, go to their mates, fucking act stupid, and don't respect the disease because they don't care about it. And that's the reason we're exponentially growing in the virus. And I believe as soon as you give fucking people an inch, they'll take a mile. But I also think that you have to. People need to blow off steam. They need to get back to a normal routine. They need to get themselves fucking level, especially if they've not been inflicted with the ramifications of a disease like this. Or it doesn't really affect them because inherently people are selfish and all about themselves. Yeah, there's a minority out there that's not, but I kind of respect that as well.
I think if you've had 3 months of your summer taken, which you've been looking forward to for fucking the whole year, and you're locked down, and you know, there's a certain amount of mental health thing where it's like, just go out and like, see if someone's not enforcing a rule. And I think it's more like, I fucking feel like mad talk back, Shane, now. But you know what I mean? I feel like the bars were like doing the bare minimum. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, yeah, give us your details, sanitize, fuck off and do what you want. And like, we were in a bar once and it was just like cunts were like crossing over each other. You're like sitting all within like shoulder to shoulder. And it's like, that shouldn't have, like, of course, drunk people are going to be like, we're drunk, we're idiots. Your brain kind of goes back to caveman, fucking dumb you. You know what I mean? Whereas I think the bars
should have quid in a taxi on that night you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think like the bars should have been like I think you should still be able to go to bars, but it should be fucking like,
I disagree, mate. The bars aren't employing fucking police officers, man. Do you imagine you're a barmaid or a barman and there's a bunch of people leaning over each other to show something on their phone? They're not going to walk over and go, excuse me, guys, it's actually against rule 265 of the Corona Code. It's fucking tough, man. Like, you need to let people just exist.
Don't engage with them anymore, Shane. You just needed to get that out of your system. That social commentary, which is now banned from this podcast.
Anyway, Danny, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
And I'll ask you this as well, Shane, when you were talking about that test. If you ever went for an STD test?
No, I haven't. Oh, no, wait, well, I haven't, but I've had blood taken and all that for such things.
Seamus?
I had the one where they stick a thing that feels like a fucking, I don't know, like a you know, like those big floppy fist dildos.
Uh-huh.
It felt like one of those going up your pee hole. Like I, it was yes. It's not a very fun situation, eh? Especially because, like, I don't know if they're meant to, but I was sitting there thinking, should this guy not lube this thing up? Like, the thing's bigger than the hole it's going into. Should
he? Talk us through that experience, because that's what I was going to say. That's the, when you were describing that, I went for one of them when I was younger, and I built my head psychologically for 2 hours as I was in the waiting room, because all I'd been told is that is what happens. Yeah. That's all I'd been told. So I was building my head up, and I'm going, ah, listen, and you know that we're no massively proud of our fucking what we've been equipped with anyway. You know, so I'm thinking, I'm going to pull it down, I'm going to show it to somebody, and then they're going to have to stick something up to test. And I remember... I was so apprehensive, mate, right? And I want to hear your experience, because I walked in and they sat me down and went, okay, here you go, James. And they gave me a wee cup and went, go and pee in that. And I was like, what? And they're like, nah, that's how we test now. that's what they did to test. And I was like, fuck. So I was like late teens. So that must have been just the transitionary period in the UK where they went from doing it on that to just taking a urine sample. But yeah, what you described is what everyone always told me growing up. And when you were talking about that, Danny, it made me think about the worst test that you could get.
You go in there, right, and you're sitting there and you don't dare look at anyone else because you just feel like you're the mad dreg of society. But everyone else is sitting there going, fucking hell, don't look up. Like, no one talks. No one looks up. Everyone's on their phone or, like, in a magazine, but everyone's kind of fucking so ashamed to be there, like, hat down kind of shit. And then I was the same thing, like, I didn't mind someone looking at my penis because I'd played rugby and I'd been naked around dudes and stuff. And I was also like, look, I don't know if I've got an STI. Whereas I think if you know you've got an STI and it's like down there's a mess, he doesn't care if my penis isn't great. He's going, yeah, no, that's one of the better ones I've seen today. Like, oh, yeah, great. You know what I mean? Like, if he's not having to hold his nose and fucking go, oh, you know, my penis was, in the scheme of things, I didn't have an STI, so it was just normal.
Talk me through then. Does he give you it, or does he ask you to lift it and put it in position so he can insert?
He might have asked if, I think, I don't know if he asked or not, but he did it to me, and it was just basically the most surgical thing ever. Like one of my, like the whole joke when I was like, oh, I'm going to go get an STI check to some of my mates, like, oh, they bloody don't get a hard on, like shite chat like that. But like, it's just a doctor that's kind of like, here, puts it in and it's agony, but you just go yeah. And you don't make any noise or you don't do anything like that. It's just
are this we allowed intimate. To talk about the circumstances and the results of yours, James?
I probably save that. Like, it'd be nice to destigmatize what Shane just said in one podcast. I just feel like it's a more comfortable environment when there's the three of us round a table or around a studio.
I'm
open. Sitting upstairs in my gaff, and you were part of the experience then, Danny.
I gave you it.
Danny gave me it. Do you know what? Fuck it. I'm just making sure the TV's still on downstairs. mine's was when we were in college. And as part of a radio documentary, a good friend of ours, Shola, was doing it on sex and like educating people on sex. So her and I had went to the clinic, which is funny because it was the second time I'd been there. But the first time I'd been there, me and my other mate had been sat down on a Saturday and amongst like 20 women. And we hadn't realised it was like a neonatal open appointment where people could come in. So we sat there for 2 hours only to be told by the woman, what are you doing here, guys? This isn't for you. Get out. And what you're saying is right, because you do feel that shame, that stigma, which you shouldn't, because, listen, sexual health is really important. Go get checked. Don't feel that shame. And that's what these clinics are there for. But I went because I wanted to take part in this documentary, and I had no idea either way. You know, it was a bit of fun. And Shaw and I went, I did the piss in the cup thing, and then I got my results a few days later, and it was chlamydia. He says really quietly. which is fine, because it was a massive pill that you take and it clears up.
Yeah.
But I ended up that I had to follow through me in this radio documentary, which I was fine about, man. I was like 19. I was like, fuck it. I'm
college thing. Yeah. Econ's listening to you. It's fine.
But then, like, you know, it's already an uncomfortable experience, but amongst your peers is fine. But then my lecturer pulled me aside and went, yes, James, are you comfortable with this going in there? Are you sure? Are you okay? And I'm like, this isn't a fucking experience I want to have with you, mate. I don't have this conversation with you. You know, this was very, very awkward. But
did they play it in front of the class or anything? Like, is it like, was there a moment where you were
week. Listen, I was open about it. You know, I'm a pretty honest guy. At that point as well, it was just like part and parcel. It was cool, man. Listen, when got done, thank fuck, because I managed to get it sorted. It's funny what you're saying, when you put your head down, you don't want to look at anyone. When I went to pick up medication, the guy, one of the guys that were there was somebody I knew. And I was letting up and going, fuck's sake, mate, this isn't a place we like to meet randomly, is it?
What are you here for? Like, oh, just a common cold.
Yeah, but aye, it was cool because I managed to give this girl a really good payoff in a documentary. Nice. And she went through an AIDS test and all that because like, she went deep into it all. But I was very fucking uncomfortable with this guy. Like, and he was straight-laced as fuck, James Wilson, wasn't he? You know, I mean, he's no sort of guy you want to sit down and have a conversation about this to make sure it's okay to get in the documentary. I suppose that's cool as well because he's looking after the well-being of a student.
Did you, like, so you didn't know? Were you, like, you didn't have any inklings, or were you kind of like, maybe there's something happening down there, or was it just didn't have a clue?
I mean, to be honest, I can't. It was, what, fucking 15 years ago now? 16 years ago, maybe? Have I known you that long now, Danny? Yeah, I must have.
2007 to 2009. We were at college, so probably would have been 2009.
Nah, it couldn't have been.
Yeah, well, trust me, 2007, 2009 was when
that would
we
have been
college.
2007, then 13 years ago, then. Jesus. No, mate, I didn't have any inkling that it was. But I knew that it was probably a good idea to go and get checked. You know, given fucking being a teenager and all that. And I never had done before. And I would encourage anyone that's single and actively, you know, having sex, go and get checked at least once a year.
I should have jammed that swab down my pee hole whilst I was at Cali. Just got that out of the way at the same time.
Aye. And then... You were close to a lecturer if you needed to.
Exactly, aye. Yeah, student welfare was just around the corner.
Yeah, but it makes me, like, see when you're talking about stigma and stuff as well, like, see when you were younger, like, I know you'd fucking ran miles to your brothers to get condoms and stuff, but I was very, very much uncomfortable walking into a shop and buying a packet. You know, and I know that's a normal guy thing, and it's like memed out the fucking, like, it's massively memed all over the internet when it's just a picture of a set of condoms and then like a pack of gum and something else. You know, guys always have to buy other shit when they're buying condoms. Self-service checkouts would be amazing. I'd love to see if you had to get ID or approval for a set of condoms in the supermarket. But that was a thing. It was like the clinic gave you like fucking 100 when you went.
Yeah, we used to get them. I used to get condoms prescribed from a doctor, which it was fucking awkward. But like, because you pay for the doctors in New Zealand, you only go when you're like proper ill. So you go there with like, I don't know, your arms fucking broken and hanging off basically. But you go there with a shopping list of shit you need to talk to him about. So he's like, oh yeah, you need to go to get an X-ray. And you're like, cool. Also, what about this? And he's like, and he's sitting there going like, I think he's got 15 minutes for each person. He's like, and then he like will then go, okay, and explain what that rash on your neck is, and then you're like, oh, so can I get some condoms? And he's like, fuck's sake. You can tell he's just like, because everyone, you pay, so you never fucking go to the doctor because it's about the equivalent of like 30 quid. But it was really awkward going, can I have a 365 condoms? But you only have to do that once every fucking year and a half kind of thing, unless you're mad shagging. But
unless you're using them every single one of every single day, mate.
Yeah, true. Maybe I'm guessing that was why they came in 365 lots, but no one's getting laid 365 days a year.
Putting the blinds down at 2 o'clock every afternoon.
I used to have a friend that used to wank into a condom. I think this is the biggest fucking waste of resources in the world.
They posh called it a posh wank. One, didn't they?
Yeah. Posh wank, yeah.
I don't think it was very posh. I mean, that would have been quite restrictive.
Yeah,
unless it's it was like scented or something.
It's one of those things that it's not worth it just for what I imagine the aftermath of guilt and shame is bad enough without then having to take a condom off and dispose of it.
And then, anyway, that,
then put the blind back up.
That same lecturer, I don't know if I've ever said this in this podcast, but that same lecturer turned around to me when I got into uni and went, "Are you sure uni's for you?" I looked at him and went, "What the fuck's that got? What sort of comments that cunt in my head?" And I'm like, "Yep." And I've had a massively successful career in radio, so sometimes I'd like to just say fuck you for making that comment.
Why don't you just organise a coffee with him and then just like list off some of your achievements?
Well, I was thinking about coming up with some sort of short term money making scheme would be that I could become some sort of Corona assassin. So if you want to be my first customer and pay me, I was wondering what rate I could charge for somebody. Like, I'd imagine I'd be like fucking hot property at the moment to just go and like breathe on people.
I reckon you'd have to lick them. If you're paying, like, if I'm paying good money for you to get to riddle someone, I want them riddled, and I want it like.
But licking is not conspicuous in any way, shape, or form. I would get immediately arrested and convicted. I'm talking about like just gently breathing on someone. Like, it's doable, but I just don't know what rate I would charge for it.
I think you'd need to have some sort of previous examples, you know. So you would need to have a couple of kills in the bag that you can show that I did this,
like a showreel or a website.
And you're only weaponized for what, the next 10 days?
It's only about 2 weeks. I'm citing Margaret Ferrier as my inspiration, so I'll take her CV and see if I can up my game. She's my guru.
I used to work with her daughter, so I feel like there's a human element of me going, "Nah, man, I feel really bad for the abuse that this woman's getting because her daughter's quite a nice human."
Who is this person? What is this reference?
We're
into politics. okay, politics / just complete and utter idiocy. That's next.
You're only potent for 10 days. So what I would be focusing on if I was you is building up your client list, yes, and the methods, but also how do you turn the germs that you've got just now into future weapons? You know, is there like little sealed bags, vacuum bags, that you can get your breath in? Can you breathe on a bit of ice?
How do they do it with anthrax? Is anthrax vacuum packed?
Mate, is anthrax not just powder?
I thought it was powder as well.
Can you powder? I don't know how to powder it. Nah, I don't.
So there's a lot of chemistry that you need to do.
Can I cough into a bag of flour? And would that be enough? I think it'd be enough.
You could potentially be a serial killer that lasts over the next 7 days and see how many you can take down within those 7 days. No payment necessary, just the notoriety.
Half now, half in 6 months when the deed is done.
Would either of you pay to give someone the Rona? Like, let's assume that they're not going to die, but worst case scenario.
I wouldn't pay to give them the Rona. I would pay to give them
the COVID. Would you actually, like, is there anyone that you dislike that much that you'd go, "Yeah, I wish you a hell of a 2 weeks"?
No.
So now you've tested positive. Like, literally, you are just fucking
positive. I've been a very optimistic man for many months now, I will argue.
No, mate, it's boring, man. Can you slide off the edge a wee bit?
Mate, I've got fucking coronavirus. What more do you want me to do to try and jazz this podcast up? I'm going above and beyond for this podcast to deliver content. And you're fucking moaning because you might not get to go to Sky for 2 days, and I'm the boring one.
I've not even brought that up, man. You're like taking the WhatsApp and you're bringing it to real life, man. That's not nice. Let's not do that.
Why would your trip to Sky be cancelled? Is it like accommodation?
Don't, it was social commentary. It's just
Danny's been up in Sky trying to do stuff with Corona. I don't know. Nah, it's just fuck social commentary, man. Like, anybody got anything else?
I have the next topic if he's wanting the next topic.
Mate, we are in dire need of topics, man.
do you want to clap in?
Nah, don't bother clapping in. There's just going to be this sad 15-second lull where it's just all tails off anyway. So that was an invigorating chat.
Anyway, just to put a fucking, like, the peek behind the curtain, what happened there? if there is a transition, Danny might edit this out anyway, is Shane and I just tailed off about a couple of decisions we had to make and then entered the most depressing fucking piece of chat that you ever heard. And Danny pulled us out of it at the end and said, I've got coronavirus, and that is more depressing than that.
So we've been talking about Willies a lot again. We've not spoken about Willies for ages. We spoke about bums last thing. I haven't spoken about bums for ages either. Have you see, is it an age thing that your pee accuracy gets worse as you get older?
I don't know.
It's getting worse.
What specifies getting worse? Are they talking about
hitting just the rim?
No, I've been doing that since I was a wee boy.
All right. No, I wasn't going to say I take pride on it, but I really always try and go above and beyond to make sure that I don't need to do any cleaning afterwards. But I don't know. I think ever since I've turned 32, it's a fucking nightmare, man. Let's see it. I've started becoming that middle of the night pee guy as well, which is worrying. I think that's just because I drink a lot more water than I used to. But I just can't fucking hit the toilet. I can't get the toilet straight away.
Don't judge yourself in a 4 a.m. pee, man.
No, I'm just in general. And it's like, you know, I'm quite proud of how slowly it takes me to get through toilet roll, but mostly it's just being used up cleaning spillages.
Start using your tongue for that. And to pick up on another point, apparently it's good to drink a glass of water before bed because it reduces your risk of a heart attack at night. I don't know why, but that's good information.
Yeah, but like imagine, like James, how well received it would be if you fucking woke up your partner by pissing on them. Like,
yeah, I'd rather have a heart attack than have to get up to pee at 4 o'clock in the morning every night.
I've not peed the bed since I was at least 7.
Yeah, but like, do you not live in like fear of it still?
No, mate, because I'm the lightest sleeper in the world, man, honestly. A rogue snore could wake me up.
I was just like, a rogue snore. Sounds like the new Star Wars that everyone will hate.
Did you guys lift the lid up? Or is that a convention?
Yeah, of course, aye.
You lift yourself, mate?
Aye, but I'm not a fucking animal.
I try and do it with my foot.
Will you try and pee with your foot?
Yeah. I would do that, especially in public toilets. I would use my shoe to always put the toilet seat up.
Serious? What fucking kind of people are you?
I don't want to touch it. So
who's putting off? Like, who's balancing like the Karate Kid? Trying to fucking kick the toilet lid up.
Well, why are you volleying it up? Why are you turning into fucking Roberto Carlos before you?
How are you doing it then? Like, are you like just, fucking?
Do you just nudge it up? Like, you just delicately lift it.
Ah, boys, just piss on it, man.
That's disgusting. That's fucking rank. That's the most,
you're
the guy that's shat cum, and that's the most rank thing you've said in this podcast.
I don't need to go over old ground. I didn't. Right. See, if you guys never been in really, really pissed, right, and cards on the table, you need to fucking tell me if you have. When you started peeing in a nightclub or a bar, and you're about 5 seconds in and you realise none of it has been in the bowl. You just realise that you've went all fucking centre. It's happening, it's dripping everywhere, most of it's on the floor. And you correct yourself, but you're like, oh fuck, that happened.
Or you're reading a text and you're like, oh fuck, I'm nowhere near where I'm needed to be.
Well, the text thing as well, but usually the drunk thing, they are just like, nah, this hasn't happened correctly. And you only hear it because you start to hear like a wee waterfall. You're like, that's not right. That's not what it sounds like usually.
That's not the good noise.
You need to say yes or not.
Well, I was just going to say, you gauge it, don't you? Like, you walk into a toilet and if it's fucking minging, you go, all right, I'm not touching anything. I'm just going to put my penis into the general direction and wish for the best. But like, if it's like in pristine thing, I'll look and I'll keep control of my penis and I'll put a bit of effort in, you know. Depends what the toilet's giving me, really.
No, I think fucking politics answer there, wasn't it? Did any, yes or no, have you pissed on the floor and not realised until you've realised?
I don't think it's the most
shameful thing in
I've
the world.
I've not done it like that. I've missed initially, if that makes sense. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. The first five seconds.
Not through like drunken ignorance, just through like it not being like penis ready yet because it's been compressed into jeans.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So that now, first kind of spurt just kind of goes everywhere.
Now, tell me this, right? Shane, you're circumcised, don't you?
Yeah.
Right, so you don't really deal with a hood.
I feel like I've asked this question to him in this podcast before. If you ask him, I'm thinking, yeah.
Are you a hood puller? That's what I'm asking. Danny, I'm asking you.
I go through phases. Not at the moment is the answer.
What's a hood? I don't know what a hood pulling is. Can you describe this to me?
If you leave your foreskin folded over, there's a good, not a good chance, but there's a chance you're going to get like a scattergun approach to commence the pee because it's exploding through. It's exploding through a bit of skin. Whereas if you pull the hood back before you start, then it opens up a clear tunnel. There's a clear pathway to the toilet.
Aye, and there's like it's like a pressure hose.
If you pull too hard, then that it might overshoot the runway.
Aye. See,
what do you mean it might overshoot the runway?
So it'll hit the back of the toilet. Or
basically, if you pull your hood up, the guys that have hoods, they're no used to what you're used to, mate. You've never known any difference, Shane.
You're living the dream. Like, honestly, I didn't realise peeing was such a complex task. I'm glad it's not just me.
No, aye. And you've got like a powerful stream then all the time. Like, see, when you pull it back, you get, you know, it powers up a wee bit more, Danny. Whereas if it's over the hood, it just slowly kind of comes out to an extent. Not massive, but you know the difference, don't you? It's like going from 50 to 70.
It's like you've got a, what's it called, a power washer.
Yeah.
So the driveway is dirty and you've got a power washer, whereas James and I have got a watering can.
Aye, pretty much.
And what, so the watering can, I'm genuinely, I don't want this to sound smutty or anything, but is there just a bunch of just pee rocking between what I would call the end of my penis and what you guys, like the hood?
Again, it comes down to circumstances. No two peas are ever the same.
Nah, and also what you don't have there is you don't need to at the end of a pee sometimes pull up the hood and then clean. Do you know the inside? Because it's maybe a wee bit damp and you don't want to go in your. Anyways, do you know what?
I don't think you need to dab dry either.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes I do, but it's more of a luxury, I guess. I didn't know you guys were like proper like it.
As hood owners, it's important to dab dry because you don't want that thing that James was just about to refer to.
You know, I think we all experience a wee dribble. See, fucking further delve into my psyche and my like paranoia. See, and to put it in context, we've all been in the toilets where we used to record the podcast, right? And do you know what? They're fucking probably some of the good toilets in this world, do you know? Like, they don't get enough praise. Great toilets, like big wooden doors. Like, yeah. See when you're in a toilet.
And as well.
You feel like you're isolating in your own wee fucking box of existence. And
toilets so good that I've ate a slice of pizza sitting in one of them.
There you go. And see those other toilets you get, and there's the wee under bit, and you know if you're sitting next to someone, like if you're in Buchanan Galleries and you're upstairs and you need a shite, you know that someone next to you and you can see underneath because there's a gap. Hate those toilets. This place doesn't do it. But you can still hear things, right? You can still hear when people are peeing next to you and all that. Sometimes I get I feel shame if mine doesn't sound as loud as theirs, and then I start to think about the acoustics. So see, when you start peeing and you're like, right, the sound that's reverberating in the man next door's pee sounds a lot louder than mine. Why is mine not sounding that good?
Have you got a watering can?
No, because even if I pull back and I go for it, I'm like, is that a size thing? Is it because he's got a larger one than mine and it's more powerful, or is it that plays in my mind? I'm like, how is mine not that loud?
I never hit the water. Even in the house, I always... This is maybe why I have this issue of aim, because I hate hitting... I hate that. As you fucking know, James, I hate the sound of fucking pee hitting water. So,
I sent him a voice note of me peeing at least once every week.
If I get a voice note off James, it's between 12 and 15 seconds long, I know what it is. But I always try and hit porcelain within the toilet, because I don't like the sound of pee hitting water.
I see, before when you were talking about I never hit the... So what did you call it, the bowl?
The rim. The rim I would call the outer
area. I would call...
Where the lid sits on.
I'd call it all the room, really. So when you said that, I was like, man, you must be like an aggressively loud peer. Like, I, you know, sometimes it's polite in the middle of the night to just pee not in the... Sometimes if I want to show off, like, my manliness to my partner, I'll go to the upstairs toilet where, like, there's no doors in between, and I'll leave the door open and I'll just pee as loud as I can. She doesn't notice, but it's just a weird... Now that I say that out loud, it sounds fucking mental.
As long as it entertains you, clearly, so that's nice.
How do you increase that volume there, Shane? Any tips?
Can you not control, like, can you, you... If you want, you can give it a good push, eh?
Sometimes that's uncomfortable, man. I think that you're working out your prostate too hard there.
Once you're in a rhythm...
A bladder,
possibly.
I don't know, man. Like... You,
apparently, I have a pressure hose, so it just comes naturally, I guess. No, what's the, like, advantage of not having a circumcised penis? I don't think there is any, mate.
No smegma, for starters.
Oh, no, but he's talking about on our side.
All right, I'd fucking love to be circumcised.
How?
Circumcised and
vasectomy.
I'll heat up the scissors underneath the gas, like, you know, until they're really red hot, and then I'll
always thought if there would be like some sort of 2-for-1 deal where I could get like a vasectomy and a circumcision at the same time, I would just sign up for it. Financially within reason.
Nah, you're
once I sue for getting coronavirus, that's what I'll spend my winnings on.
No, but like, no, not sue your work, but are they like guilty? Because you got it at work?
No, nobody's guilty.
By the way, see, since we're talking about this as well, man, I grew up for, I think I've touched on this a wee bit, but I grew up for a good 15 years there where I had a strong phobia, like, grew up, you know what I mean? But like from probably late teens.
Matured.
Mid-teens to even the early 30s, man, I didn't go near a fucking urinal. I was just two things. I was scared of, like, getting piss all over me, and I was just like, I don't like that idea of other guys seeing my willy. Like, that stigma had been, like, fucking buried so deep in me that other, like, I just, you'd always talk about it, the rugby, and being around mates naked and all that. I just didn't like it. That threw me through a fucking loop.
Here's the question, then. Have you ever looked? If you're worried about people looking, have you ever looked yourself?
You don't like see with strangers and all that, you can't help it. You're pissed next to a guy in a urinal, you can't help it. Fucking, there's a dick.
I didn't mean
to see that guy's dick, but I just seen it because I look like fucking, I was like that. If you are genuinely sitting telling me that you've never pissed next to someone in a urinal and seen what they've got.
I've seen one, but I don't think I can't think of ever consciously.
Mate, I'm not intentionally going,
oh, right. I might look at a guy's penis. But I believe, especially in like pubs and nightclubs, and a guy's steaming, he'll turn around with his knob out as he's putting it away.
I'm talking about distance as well, mate. Like, some people go right in like that, some people are back a wee bit as well. And I think that unless you're sitting, and I think this is weird, I can't appeal like this. Like, and for anyone that's listening, I'm just looking at the wall and I'm right next to the wall. I can't go right up to the wall.
You're
like
mental. I don't know what that was.
Exactly, but I can't hear it. I'm like,
I don't think Andy's ever peed with her nose touching the wall.
I'm never peeing next to you guys.
Well, I was going to say, why don't we do a podcast where we all just
show each other our dicks?
No, I was just going to say, like James, that could be like, you could face your fear. Like, we could do that as OnlyFans or something. You could just like go up to people at the urinal and just talk to them, like, get vox pops from people while they're pissing. Fuck, that would be awesome.
Man, that sounds horrible.
That sounds awful. I'd love to see the footage of people try to fucking knock fuck out you when you went to vox pop them for peeing.
I now go to urinals. I started a few years ago and I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. But I don't do it often for one certain reason in a like bar or a nightclub or anything. I just find it the most unhygienic element of a toilet, you know, like, people don't care. You've got cups in there, people are spitting in there. I've seen a shite in there once. Like, people pissing the floor, you're talking about pissing the floor, there's piss dripping off urinals, it's horrible. But fundamentally, the whole thing comes from just, I don't like that experience. I feel like as guys, we're judged massively and we judge other guys on size and everything. And I just feel like that's an area that played in my mind for too many years. I was just like, fucking, you know, I don't want to piss next to my mates, or I don't want to piss next to other guys, so I'll just go into the toilet. Even when I was busting for pisses in nightclubs and all that, and I'd walk in and fucking every toilet would be taken, I'd just go, right, cool, another drink.
See, I don't know. I never really you've thought about it more than me, and I'd hazard a guess you've thought about it more than Shane. But I would use a urinal over a cubicle because I would be worried that if I went to a cubicle, people would think I was doing a shite.
Hang on, I'm comfortable. Like I hate
shitting in public. Shitting in public.
Yeah. Well, this is what we've got differently, man. I take pride in doing a shite in public. I genuinely.
Have you ever shit in a nightclub, like a club?
Me?
Yeah. I fell asleep. Been caught short, but
I used to shite in nightclubs all the time. I fell asleep in a cubicle in a nightclub for 40 minutes once. It was brilliant.
I like that. It's like I fucking. I used to shit in nightclubs all the time. old crazy nightclub shitter over there.
That's like his TripAdvisor thing.
Honestly.
Buff club, 4 stars. Decent toilet roll. Decent toilet roll.
Imagine. That'd be great, man. I genuinely could have probably, my halcyon days of nightclubs, I could have started an Instagram that had about 20,000 followers rating the shites and nightclubs. Nah, Shane. I don't know about you guys, but when I used to go out, man, like it consisted of Friday night, right? Friday night, you went out and you fucking hammered it because you didn't really work. You had college or whatever, or uni. Friday night, you would hammer it. And then Saturday, you would get a scran in the morning and you get a scran at night and you'd kind of walk through your hangover fairly easily. And you'd start getting back on it again and you would then head out. So by that time, if you've had your first morning one, like your morning shite, you know, just kind of easing out some of the stuff from the day before. By the time you're in a nightclub and you're banging down the cheap vodka and like putting yourself full of sugar and coke, I reckon that most people in a nightclub are in need of a shite again at that point, because especially at that age, because you've fucking thrown so much into your body. It made me feel so much better going for a cheeky wee one in the nightclub to the point where I was like, I'm ready to have a good night again. A cheeky whitey, mate, and I always whited. You'll testify to this. I whited every single night I went out. Like, I just fucked off to an alley and I whited and I came back, or I went to the toilet and I whited and I came back and went back on it. Like, and then I shite. I needed both of them to get out my system. And the other method I used was don't eat straight after going out. Like, see, when everyone went for chips and cheese, I'm like, nah, no for me. It'll ruin everything.
Although, like, I think if you eat the night before, you're less hanging in the morning.
I'm with that now, mate. But back in my, like, mine's was as soon as I leave the club, I'll probably wait in an alley and that'll see me through till the next day.
True. I my whole life, whenever I've got a mad hangover, I'll shit lots, like probably 6 times a day. Like, that's always been my proper, like, the worst part about hangovers for me is, like, see your 4th or 5th shit of the day and it takes me 10, 15 minutes and you're just, like, emotionally drained from all this shitting and social media checking, you know what I mean? You're just kind of like, oh, I'm shitting again. Like, and I don't know. So I never shit in the nightclub, but that's because I literally shit my brains out all day. I don't know if it's is that a thing that everyone gets, or is that just a, like, do you shit lots when you're hungover?
I don't know what James pointed at me there as if I had an answer for that. I don't know. I don't keep track. I don't. I've got my jobby log, but it's in the other room. So I'll refer to my jobby diary.
Danny only shits on the rim. Sorry, yeah, I was sneezing. That's why I pointed at you.
If I'm going to shit in public, I always need to put loads of toilet roll down the thing first so that there's no ploppage.
Man, I miss nightclubs. I genuinely do. And I miss that. I miss the idea of being at a nightclub when I was younger as well. And I hate to fucking, but, you know, stereotypically look back in your younger years like most people do. But it going out on a Friday and Saturday and having dedicated nights like the Tunnel Fridays, Garage, G2, Attic on a Saturday. And, like, see, being pulled in like 9 different directions from a musical taste perspective. You know, I love hip hop, I love indie, I like a wee bit of emo and all that, and then going out and buying some gear that you would properly look at and go, that's my nightclub dress wear, which is a weird thing to say. And then thinking,
I thought
about
you meant drugs.
And then, like, thinking about all the people you're going to pull, and then coming home at night and looking at all your mates and going, we pulled no one. It's just something fucking magical to look back in that, isn't it?
It's because you bought bad gear.
I always had like one shirt that was like my town shirt forever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you'd buy a shirt for like in New Zealand, it was like $80. So that's like about 40 quid. So you're spending a bit on your shirt and you're like, I'm not going to buy another one of these for fucking ages.
Do you mean you just get me one shot all the time?
Every weekend.
That's fucking... That's clatty.
I'll defend Shane here as somebody who grew up in that small town place with only two or three places to go. There was a lot of people.
Yeah, that makes it worse.
I might have been one, I can't remember. Nah, because it's that whole uniform thing. It's just, we're all just there and dancing like, the same playlist, like someone... the same clothes. The only thing that changed was who hooked up with who. Same fights. You really need to live small town upbringing to grasp how utterly depressing it is.
I like the idea of the uniform. The
like, mine
I know,
was...
but you grew up in a happy country by the sounds of it, so...
Yeah, like I wouldn't go to the same clubs every weekend, and you know what I mean? Like, I'd go to different ones every weekend.
Ah, right. Well, nah, yours does.
And I wash it. Like, I'm not, like you said, like a claddy bastard. Like, I'd wash the shirt.
No, mate, to be fair, I cared about clothes too much then. I would make sure that if I was going out, I'd probably have a new T-shirt or a new shirt every single weekend.
Ooh. Like, well, Primark probably... stuff or, like, good stuff.
Probably H&M, like 20, 30 quid or something. But like, I didn't have bills. I probably stayed with my mum and dad a wee bit at that time. And then I my car was gifted to me. So that was always going out of my money, you know. And then the drinks were so cheap in places, and you would pre-drink all night before you went out. Oh, fuck, man, I miss that. It's probably heightened right now, but I miss those days, man. I miss the day when I went out with a group of mates and ended up in the cat house, and Danny just turned around to us and went, I'm not staying here, I'll see you later. I mean, I longed for those moments, and he left.
That was only about 3 years ago. That wasn't our youth, to be fair.
I know, but still.
The only time I've ever been in cat house. But no, I don't know. I never liked that whole nightclub thing. But I don't know. That'll tie in for the depressing self-esteem podcast when that day comes, I assume.
But, do we think we can like tentatively put a time on Subcrawl 2.0, or is it too early?
Probably too early. But I mean, do it in the next 10 days and invite all your enemies.
Yeah, that'd be a great shout, mate. Why don't we do
charge,
it?
Charge, remember, there's a fee, we just don't know what it is yet.
We'll probably do your the Subcrawl for your like home stay, or your Glasgow stay, what's it called? Stag do.
Are you guys coming to New Zealand?
Yeah, I mean...
I assume you mean for your wedding. Yeah. I don't know is the answer, but yeah, I think my next holiday will probably be New Zealand, so...
I want to see the toilet go the other way, like the water.
I've never noticed it, to be fair.
Mate, Bart Simpson says it does.
I've bought this one shirt that I'm going to wear every day this holiday.
In New Zealand, you don't wear like you need rugby shorts and jandals, and that's all you need.
I don't think I'm going to get into New Zealand.
No, mate, you got the wrong footwear, and you're in like nice shoes, and like, nah.
Don't like rugby. Please make your way to the detention centre.
No, but you don't have to like rugby. You just got to wear short shorts because that's what your dad wore and his dad before him.
Like, he only wore one pair.
yeah, they got handed down, and they got like. You've got there, you know that hole you always get in the gooch? You've got that your grandfather's gooch.
That was why my dad disowned me, was because I didn't wear the hand-me-down shorts. I went, no, my friend James has taught me about the shop H&M, and he cast me out. He went, he's...
See, Danny likes to say that he didn't like nightclubs, but I went to like ABC loads with Danny.
I went, but it was through social obligation, and the reason that I would get to, don't get, it was nice, I enjoyed, don't get me wrong, but the vast majority of them, I just didn't remember because I would get blackout drunk because I'd be going, this is shite, why am I not enjoying this? I'm obviously not drunk enough. So what I'll do is I'll just stank, fucking, I use the word stank and I liked it. I'm going to stick with that word from now on. I'm going to stank 5 Jager bombs and then I'll not remember the rest of the night and wake up and assume that it was quite good. That was kind of my way of negotiating nightclubs and all these fun nights out that I didn't find fun.
Well, listen, mate, now that you're in better fettle, Shane and I will take you to Malone's one night and we'll enjoy a good night.
I'll only go if there's a guy singing Grace on a guitar. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
Oh, there will be.
And I don't know if that happens very often in these establishments. So I'm only going in the night that there's a guy with a guitar singing Grace.
Remember we got shushed in Gracie's? Not Gracie's, Malone's.
Malone's.
Oh, we got the bouncer told us to, and Danny would not give
Friday
up on
night.
It.
Stop talking loud, guys.
It wasn't, but like Friday nights at Malone's were shot. It just had to be a random fucking.
He's like, guys, be quiet. This man is trying to sing Grace on his guitar, and you're talking at decibel levels that are muting his guitar singing of Grace-ness abilities.
You, when you were talking, James, about all the things that you missed about the going out, I was the same until someone mentioned fucking Jaeger bombs. I reckon I've got old, but I can't think of anything worse than a fucking Jaeger bomb.
Mate, yeah. They're so good though, man. I reach a reckless, dangerous level of James when someone mentions shots in a night out, or it's usually me, and I'll just be like, shots, guys, let's do them. I fucking love that. I just think, if you're going to drink, let's just get a wee bit reckless. And Jaeger bombs are an amazing gateway to being reckless.
But the problem is, like, I was at Leah Rig a couple of weekends ago while you were allowed to, right? And
you're still allowed to now.
Oh, cool. I just wasn't sure on the rules. but
that's,
there was like,
that's how I want to live my life. This is the fucking levels I'm aspiring to. There's a pandemic going on right now. What's a Brexit, guys? I keep hearing people going on about this Brexit. Like, you are my fucking muse, Shane. You are my aspiration. Continue.
So we're at Leah Reagan. I went there, and I think it was the night after I went out for you guys. And they ended up, someone brought cake because it was the weekend before my birthday, and like the barmaid just brought us over cake because they're quite nice. But like some random dude who was off his tits, couldn't say words, just kept getting the table full of like Jaeger bombs. Like he just honestly probably got about 15.
Your table?
Yeah.
Man, he came brilliant.
He came over and he was like really friendly. And one of his friends was, you know, could talk and was kind of babysitting this guy who was on the gear, not from H&M. And was just like falling off his chair and stuff like that. But
I just got what you guys want.
Fucking hell.
But he'd just keep fucking waving them over. Yeah, yeah. And like, honestly, couldn't say words. Would get another 5 fucking Jaeger bombs. And I was like, and he's like, happy birthday. And it was like, the way he said it was like that he'd forgotten. And he thought it was the first time he'd said it every time, but he'd forgotten and he'd just realised. So he's like, happy birthday. And it's like, mate, look at this aftermath, this graveyard of Jaeger bombs that you brought out last time.
Are you complaining about a man with memory loss who keeps buying you drinks on a night out? Because that seems like a stupid complaint, you know?
No, but he didn't take advantage of this poor man.
He didn't take me home. No, we actually helped. When I say we, Sam
helped empty his bank account.
Had to carry him across the road because he fell asleep. There's two toilet doors, right? Like, there's the first one and there's, like, the one to the actual toilet. So he fell asleep in between them and that neither of them would open. So it's like they had to get a bouncer to push the door and it just kind of pushed his legs up and kind of scrunched him up and then they had to drag him out. And, like, we chucked him over our shoulder and shit. But then his mates were
You're not allowed to do that, mate. You're breaking the rules.
I didn't.
Do you remember the night before, then, if that was a night, the guy that was talking about planking a bottle of Buckfast in a garden?
Can I tell what I was actually going to tell, an aspect of this story, and I'm excited about telling it because I only came out of my head when Shane was talking there.
This about the bike?
No, in fact, not even that bit. But after, so what, 3-4 weeks ago, it was before the curfew changed, so that's however long ago that was, we went to West and we had the night out and we were at that kind of merry stage. After it, we were like, oh, what do we do? Because there's nowhere to go. Do we break rules? So we went and got food at some stage if we wanted to skip the bike bit.
Skip the bike bit because Danny hated the bike bit.
The bike bit is another good story, but I want to tell this because it's really funny and it just came back into my head. So you was wanting Chinese. We ordered Chinese, and in the Chinese there was this like young, just like fucking everyday barmy couple, and probably about 18-19, and this fucking steaming guy who is relevant to the planking Buckfast story. But so the steaming guy was just being like everyday annoying Glasgow steaming guy until he turned round to like the girl of the young couple, and I can't remember, like, did he say something about how she had nice tits or something like that? And the boyfriend of the girl,
I think he said, what age are you? And he turned around and he went, oh, she's 18. How? And he was like, doesn't he look 18? She's lovely, Roy. Brilliant.
Something like that.
Something went a wee bit sexual. Yeah.
Creepy and lecherous. And the guy, obviously, sticking up for his girlfriend, square goad this guy. And at this point of the story, James was talking to Shane and I. And James is, James is like a middle-class suburban yuppie sellout these days.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's got a
James is turning around. I believe he was saying to Shane, and he's going, do you know, the problem with that clay chimney these days is that they just don't hold up in the rain the same way. And so he was midway through this conversation, and then the fight broke out, and like some sort of fucking Clark Kent getting into the phone box to change into Superman thing, James stood up and was just went, yeah, boys, man, we're all fucking pals here, eh? We're off of the same fucking country here. Like, nobody's going to fucking fight. And he just turned into, like, I don't know why he turned into an Edinburgh person all of a sudden.
Aye, nah, mate, you're completely misrepresenting this.
An Eddie one, but he just turned into a pure bam, and he's like, "Nah, we're all mates, but we're not. Nobody's boxing here, eh?" And then he sat back down and went, "So I was cleaning my barbecue. And it's a real nightmare to get into the crevice."
Mate, you're absolutely misrepresenting me here. I was on the wee boy's
not
side.
In the slightest. It was very, very funny.
And I say the wee boy, they were sitting down together, and that boy stood up, and he was about 6'5". You remember, like, the wee boy who was 18, and I'm like, this guy's going to get lettered. So I told the guy, I said, aye. I kind of sided with the wee boy, and I intimated that the guy that was drunk who planked his butt fast should fuck off. Mate, you just get to fuck, kind of thing. Out the thing, because I could see the wee guy was about to letter him, and that's what happened. And I maybe went a wee bit more colloquial, but you don't like riding bikes, so...
I don't, because I don't want Batman Ned James to break out on me. No, the riding bikes thing was funny as well, because I've ridden a bike once since I was about 12 years old, so I wasn't sure how to ride a bike. I was drunk, and it just wasn't. You cycled ahead.
Aye, God bless Shane, man, because we heard these bikes. So it was the next bikes in Glasgow, and I just decided, as soon as I heard Danny like grumbling a wee bit, I was like, it was a lovely night, I'm going to cycle ahead, I'm like a wee bit steaming, it's amazing that I can just have a bit of fucking fresh air flash against my face, and I need to get away for this cunt, because all I could hear was a moan, and Shane was like, dad, teaching a kid how to ride a bike again, and he's like, you just one foot on, you've got your balance, son, come on.
I could ride the bike, that wasn't the issue. So we've left West, we're at Glasgow Green, going to wherever it was, we're going, Duke Street, so through Brigton, on the fucking public roads. I'm drunk.
Public roads.
Well, it's public roads. It's fucking
those damn busy public roads.
So it's probably illegal to drunk cycle. That shouldn't have been getting done in the first place. I was struggling to fucking cycle in a straight line. I was also struggling to cycle because I don't know why the bike was heavy. It must have been in a gear or something like that. So Shane very politely was trying to help me change gear on the bike. And he's saying, you need to lift your left hand and turn the thing, and I'm going, I appreciate that you're offering me nice advice, Shane, but I'm get two hands on this bike and I can't cycle in a straight line. If I take one hand off, I'll fall over, and then I can't find the thing in question. And I knew we were about to go up some unnecessarily steep hill that none of us would have been able to get up in the state we were in anyway, and I did. I complained and moaned the whole way, but I got to the end of the road and I passed my cycling drunk proficiency test. But if the police had fucking seen us, we'd get fucked for that, because I was all over those roads.
Nah, I mean, because
that's what we're looking for.
And that's why I've got coronavirus, because karma acts through the cycling laws, not any other laws.
The thing about in the Chinese shop when fucking James
yes well. Thank you for getting back to that story, because it is the funnier of the two.
It was so funny because like James was literally like mid sentence and I didn't even, we were all kind of sitting in a way that we were watching whatever this drunk dude was doing, because he was being a tit, and we all knew he was being a tit, but he wasn't being a tit to us, he was just loud, and so we were watching it and chatting amongst ourselves, and I didn't even notice, but like once I realized the guy had stood up, James was already between them. Like James saw it before he did. Like he's like a, you know, it's like mad fucking, his eyes see something in like more frames per second.
Ned's spidey sense.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually like that. It was like you were fucking,
The best thing about that is that neighbourhood has been voted one of the top 10 in the world.
would that the best way or the fairest way to describe this, Shane, be that James went from being understandable Scottish to indistinguishable Glaswegian?
Yeah. Proper, like, he went to, like what you'd imagine they talk like when they make a movie of, like, the young team, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
But, if like, when shit was going down.
You're watching a film based in Scotland and they're subtitling the Scottish guy. That was the level of Scottish that he went to, whereas prior to that, he was, like, fucking Dougray Scott or something.
Fucking Dougray Scott.
I think I might invest in the stock market. I've been thinking, oh, fuck it! Like,
listen, man, you got to appreciate the fact that people can still revert to those roles, you know. I like speaking the way I speak now. I make a concerted effort, but I can slip back in if I need to, you know.
Can you
it's
do
good
it
to be a wee bit of danger. I can, you guys only there.
Yeah, there's not a fight about to break out.
Yeah. If you listen back to the Graham Armstrong one, I was probably a wee bit mayor that way. Because he speaks like that.
I didn't even realise, by the way, that there was the fight going down until James came and sat back down. And I was like, nah, what just happened?
James sat back down and knew immediately that I had been laughing at him the whole time. I think one of the first things he said was, I could see you laughing at me.
Yeah, I prevented a guy getting a proper lettering off a wee boy who wasn't wee, he was like 6'2".
It would have gone down best with the.
I think you could have stopped that fight in any accent.
Such as
your power and ability.
The thing about accents is you can sound a wee bit more dangerous with certain accents and certain colloquialisms and slipping into it. So somebody being at one on their level and then sounding also a wee bit dangerous kind of makes people think, you know, they're just like, ah, listen, man, this isn't good territory to be in. Let's just go home with my missus and have my Chinese. Let's go find my buck fast in a garden and I'll have a good night. And yeah, to be fair, I levelled my dangerous to the guy who was in the wrong because he was talking out of turn to that guy's girlfriend and he shouldn't have. So I immediately sided with the boy that ended up being 6'5", which is a good place to be.
To full stop that story, the guy that was being inappropriate and was creepy and old when we left, the Chinese turned around to us and said that he was going to go looking through the gardens because he planted a bottle of Buckfast in one of them, which was nice. It's a nice way to finish any night out.
Yeah.
But then we walked past him and he was in a bush, like a random garden.
That's right.
Some drunk dude in your backyard just fucking looking for. Imagine if you walked out at that time, the fuck are you doing?
That's why Denniston's been voted in, what is it, top 40 cities in the world or towns in the world to live in. It's because they've got magical Buckfast trees. It's just spout bottles of wine.
That's why I've never lived there, mate.
Yeah.
That's like, that's an ultra meta joke, you know. I live in Carntyne now and I lived in what I said was Denniston for years and you said wasn't.
But it's Belgrove.
Belgrove is in Denniston, you dick.
It's like saying Battlefield's in Mount Florida. It's just Battlefield. She lived in Belgrove. Right, there's nothing wrong living in Belgrove. It's nice.
Belgrove's just a street, buddy.
No, if it's got a train station, then it's not a street.
So if you're saying that, then your man there doesn't live in Denniston, then?
I don't know.
I live in Alexander Parade.
That's what he's saying, mate. It's not just a street now. It's just a...
it's just a location.
Right. So Danny, now that we're nearing the end of the podcast because my battery's about to die, how are you, mate?
Fine. This was my dying wish, was to just get all that stuff about peeing and shitting discussed. Imagine that, like, again, this fucking podcast, man, where the title's Danny has coronavirus. Folk will be like, oh, here's going to be like some hard-hitting real shit about coronavirus. Nah, talking about the willies again. When are they going to talk about pooing? There it goes. They're talking about poos.
I like the idea of, if you do die, we play this whole fucking podcast at your funeral. And just
My funeral will be way funnier than this podcast.
Well, listen, if you don't want to end it in anything to do with coronavirus, I just want to inform you guys that Eddie Van Halen has now passed away.
I think we're all just taking a minute's silence while this is happening as well.
And that's all we could probably get away with in the podcast, eh?
Yeah, that, because that's where the line was crossed by breaking copyright rules.
That was Drunk Therapy. If you enjoyed this podcast, go listen to some of the other ones. The old you would have. If you're on socials, like us there as well. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @DrunkTherapy. It's something weird on Twitter, which I can't remember right now.